Ramsey TV.
Do you know what really ticks me off? What really ticks me off is that the false God and Christ are so saturatingly thought to be the true God and Christ that hundreds of millions of minds of people cannot recognize, cannot see, cannot appreciate the true God. I have a friend, and I'm going to use her as an example here, who was raised in the Catholic Church, like I was, but so convinced is she that that was the true God, no matter how many times, my dad was the same way for many, many years, no matter how many times I told my dad that the God I serve is not the God you heard about when you grew up. It's impossible, humanly impossible, to convince a person such as my dad or this acquaintance in question here that there's two separate beings, the true God and the false God. They can't be convinced of it. So overwhelmingly real is the false God. Such a job Satan has done in imitating that it's impenetrable. The curtain past the false God and the false Christ is impenetrable. It is so freaking good in a bad way. It is so freaking thorough. It's really humanly impossible. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. And it just infuriates me. I can say the name God, and instantly, the mind goes to an old man in a white beard who is just brooding over the earth, frustrated with things, ill-tempered, and ready to strike out against anybody who disobeys. There's just no other... I mean, that picture's still in my head. I've been in this evangel, I've known about the true God for 40 years. And that picture is still in my head. You get the idea of a human being who's capricious, who's arbitrary, and really quite grouchy. But that is so far from the real picture. And then when you get to Christ, I say Jesus Christ to somebody, and they think of the effeminate movie star. Oh yeah, Jesus Christ is a movie star, don't you know? Don't you know all the movies that have been made about Jesus Christ? Even Mel Gibson's movie. They make a movie star out of Jesus Christ. As horrifying as the Mel Gibson account is, the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, that's not Jesus Christ, damn it. That's not him. I don't care. They might have gotten all the details right, but no traditional conception of Jesus Christ is the true Jesus Christ. What I want to tell my friend is that Jesus Christ is a powerful celestial being whose power pulsates throughout all creation and keeps things cohering. How does that definition align with the movie star? And some of this is God's fault. Yes, the true God's fault. I speak a little facetiously there. But he did send his son in the likeness of sin's flesh. Yes, he did. But that was such an amazing disguise. Oh my God, wait till we see the true Christ in all his glory. Even we, who will at the time have the full mind of Christ, will be totally taken aback by the disparity between a biped walking upon the earth, wearing a beard and sandals, and the being that is the firstborn of the creation of God through whom all exists. This is why I say I'm not ashamed of the evangel. I'm ashamed to say, for instance, I'll give you an example. This is terrible, but I'm telling you, this is the facts. I'm embarrassed to say I study the Bible, because there's another false association. Oh, the Bible. Instantly, people get in their head, a preacher in a pulpit waving that thing, or Christians, you know, with it tucked under their arms, going to their prayer meeting, nerds. And by the way, Jesus and God, by the way, watch yesterday's video, Ronnie Paris, Martin Sender. People think that God is a crutch and Jesus Christ is a crutch. This is related. People think that God and Christ are a crutch for weak people. Oh yeah, weak people don't have anything else going for them, so they latch on to God. He's their celestial sugar daddy, and everybody else hates them and makes fun of them, but God, he looks upon them, but you see, the people who are making this critique, making this really condemnation, they think they're strong. They don't need God. They don't need God. People think they don't need God. They don't need the power by which and through which all things consist. Now they don't need him. They don't need him. That's how screwed up the true image of God has become. The people don't think they need God. Oh my God. Talk about an awakening, a rude awakening, when you find out that God's the very one that gave you the breath that denied him. But it's the fault of Satan. It's this false image. Of course, it goes back to God. I know, but boy, what a job he did. What a freaking job he did with this deception. So you have this image in your head when you're growing up. The effeminate Jesus. That only weak people... Oh, the truth of the matter is, sorry, before I get back to my topic. Weak people don't choose God. God chooses weak people. Watch the video from yesterday. It's really a relaxing video. I made this 28 years ago in my living room in Greenwich, Ohio. It was very bittersweet listening to that again while watching Rodney's really beautiful, stark, simple video. I went back to that living room 28 years ago, and four people that were there at that home meeting are now dead. So much has changed since then. We were almost like simple, these naive people in a living room talking about God. And if anybody thinks God is a sugar daddy or God is a Santa Claus for adults, excuse me. Santa Claus doesn't do what this God does. Nobody I know who believes in the true God is getting any kind of break or slack in this life. But no, we're in trials to suit us to a celestial allotment. So the disconnect is between the false and the true. It is a total disconnect. I know you're saying, Martin, you've talked about this before. No, I have not. I see it clearer than ever, and I'm seeing something that really is breakthrough. And I want you to understand that this video has to go 45 minutes, and if I stumble and stumble and stumble, I might actually say it the way I want to say it, the way I realized it the other day. There is no connect, none, between the world's image of God and the world's image of Christ and the true God and Christ. There's not even the smallest thread of linkage. I guess if I had to strain and come up with a link, the only link is that the false God and the false Christ have stolen the names of the true God and the true Christ. And that is a crime, an incalculably evil crime. That will be. This is why the beast, the adversary, especially the adversary and the false prophet, must be tormented alive in the lake of fire for an eon and beyond because of that, because of stealing the identity. People today are worried about identity theft. So you want to protect your identity. Identity theft is a real thing. If you've ever been through it, it's a nightmare. People are out there acting in your name. Paul suffered identity theft when people wrote letters and forged his name and said crazy crap in the letters. But to take the name for these false deities, these small g gods, to steal the name of God in Christ and to put on these costumes and outfits and to show up in churches in the Christian world, in Mel Gibson's movie, to show up in these outfits, in these costumes, and try to sell themselves as the true God and the true Christ and have millions and millions and millions of people believe them. And then, of course, just like the people who forged Paul's letters, they put inaccurate crap in it. They put their own propaganda in the letter. Then they sign it as from Paul. So these demons have put their own propaganda in the teachings mouthed by these fakers, the fake God and the fake Christ. Propaganda like eternal torment, even annihilation. Hey, Otis Sellers, yeah, annihilation counts, sir. Annihilation counts as the propaganda, the false teaching put into the mouth of the false God and the false Christ by the beings, the very powerful spiritual beings that are imitating the false God and the false Christ. And I have said this before, when it's all said and done, the Christian world is going to see who they've really been following and who they've really been worshiping. And it's not the true Christ. It's not the true God. But it's such a clever imitation. But the spirit wasn't there. What happened to that? You believed in eternal torment? You believed that the actual God in Christ would countenance such a horror as the eternal torture of their enemies? Ooh, no, you were following something else. Something real, but something else. And I'll say something shocking now, is that this problem did not exist in the first century. The Apostle Paul did not have to deal with this. He didn't have to deal with a false system, with a rogue system, with an imitation system, which I'll say it again, has no link, has no basis, in fact, with the true system. So divorced are they. Except they stole the names. That's it. They hijacked the names of God and Christ. What was Paul dealing with? The circumcision. All right, yeah, it was rough. It was a hard thing. The circumcisionists, the believing Jews, came in to Paul's people who were taught transcendent grace. Grace and nothing else added, and they were trying to introduce elements of the law. But these people who came from James, that is the brother of our Lord, were part of the Jerusalem Ecclesia. And that was a legitimate group. These people were legitimate, and they were taking a legitimate evangel from a legitimate Christ called the gospel of the circumcision, and they were perverting it. They weren't perverting it, but they were trying to take elements of it and infiltrate it into a system that required the rejection of it, at which time they would thus be compromising the integrity of the gospel they were trying to inject themselves into, namely Paul's gospel. But it was a true system. The Jewish system was a true system. What did Paul have to deal with the behavior of the Jews? Paul says in Romans, because of you, speaking of the Jews, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Again, the Jews were part of a legitimate religion. Why was God's name blasphemed among the nations? Because of their behavior. It wasn't because of their teaching. It was because of their behavior. They were trying to wreck Paul's gospel by injecting a legitimate element of their gospel into it. But they were also idolaters on the side. Just, you know, it's a little side gig. Paul accuses them in Romans chapter 2 of doing the very thing they preach against. In other words, they're hypocrites. That's the worst Paul had to deal with. And the Jews were recalcitrant, ignorant, angry. They beat him 5 times. It's not good. A terrible thing Paul had to deal with there. But he didn't have to deal with an imitation system that had no relation to the true system. No relation. The people who say they're worshiping Christ, they might as well be worshiping Mr. Magoo. They might as well be worshiping Gumby and Pokey. It's not even close to the true God and Christ. Again, even we ourselves, when we see the true God and the true Christ, nobody has ever seen God. He's absolutely invisible. When we see the true Christ, but to just say the word, say the name Jesus Christ, the only reason it's embarrassing to me, this is the only reason, is because when people hear that name, they instantly associate it with the false Christ. And so just by saying the name Jesus Christ, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, it turns my stomach. Not because I'm ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm ashamed of the fake Jesus Christ and of the way people hear that name are instantly putting an overlay on me. They're instantly putting a filter over me. They're instantly imagining they understand who I am and what I'm about. And so I can't say it quickly enough that I'm not a Christian. I can't say that quickly enough. You cannot call yourself a Christian because that is the religion run by the false G God disguising himself as Jesus Christ. There's a false G God, a very powerful spiritual being that's evil. I've posited before that I think it's Baal Peor, one of the powerful, influential false gods in the Israelite era. That Baal Peor is actually the God behind Christianity. And that Christians are worshiping false gods. They're all idolaters. Every one of them are idolaters. And when they feel the pull of God, when they hear the voice of the true God and the true Christ pulling them out of the system, there you go. Out of what? The system. They're getting pulled out of a system, a false system, a Hollywood wall system. And I know it looks exactly like the real system. On the outside, it has the trinkets. It has the outward decorations like the Hollywood wall. The Hollywood town is not a town. The Western town is not a town at all. It's a bunch of plywood facades where they hang signs, a saloon, sheriff's office, county jail. There's nothing behind it. It's just the name, the little nameplates. And for shallow people who are interested only in belonging to the most popular religion on the face of the earth, they're not going to look behind it. They just believe the false front. It ought to clue them in that the teachings coming out of this monstrosity, including annihilation and eternal torment, are hideous. But such is the deception, ladies and gentlemen. Such is the deception. The false God and the false Christ are not an adaptation of the true God and the true Christ. It's not an adaptation. It has no connection, no anchor. I've said this many times. I can't figure out how else to say it. If I could, I would. It has nothing in common with the real. And even we ourselves are tempted to think of the Christian Christ when we think of Jesus Christ. Even if we saw him when he was on earth, we'd be shocked. Obviously, he looks nothing like modern portrayals of him, because everything anyone modern does when they're telling a Bible story has that predisposition to be part of the system, the fake system, the adulterated system. And so it angers me that I can't even say the name of Jesus Christ without somebody assuming they know all about me. Oh, you're one of these weak people that believes in Jesus because he can't make it in life. We talk about God. Oh, you believe in God. Just by saying, I believe in God. Oh, okay. They got you all figured out. Oh, if you could only know the power of the true God, you're living in it, but you don't know it. To say the word Bible. Oh, he carries the Bible. He reads the Bible. Isn't that nice? Oh, he's the Bible. That's why I always say the scriptures. At least it puts some kind of, like, what? Scriptures? What do you mean? Oh, okay, good. I got you out of the rut of what you think the Bible is, what you think the Word of God is, because of the way that those who were influential in your religious life as a young person followed you on the whole thing, turned you off of it. And there we can connect the Jews of Paul's day because of their behavior. It's crazy nuns, crazy priests, lunatics of the system, crazy preachers. Prosperity preachers, hellfire and damnation preachers, fish fry on Friday night during Lent. Fish fry. Why are you frying fish? Because we're not allowed to eat meat on Fridays. Why? Because we don't know. Oh, because Baal Peor told you not to. Because the fake religion is all about working, all about trying to impress. Impress who? Impress the false deity who inspires fear. The true God does not inspire fear. True God is love. And I wish I could say the name of God and say the name of Christ. I can to you. I can to my intimate friends in the body of Christ. But to the majority of humanity, as soon as I utter the name, Jesus Christ or God, they're, oh, yeah. We got you figured out. No, you actually don't.